Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful morning you provided us today to gather in your house and meet in your name. Bless us with your presence, Lord, and bless everybody here, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for the people that are represented here as the veterans of our country today. It's what a blessing to have these people that are willing to put their lives on the line for this country and for all of our rights. Father, keep your hand on the situation in the Middle East, Lord, and be with our country. And be with Brother Cal as he brings his word, and put your hand on him and use him to help whoever you can help today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Diane and I just wanted to take a personal point of privilege. Thank you all for letting us go and enjoy our 40th wedding anniversary last week. And I might have been out of sight, but I wasn't out of mind. I watched the service thousands of miles from here down in St. Lucia, and y'all had a great... And I saw David Mackins over at the funeral home yesterday, and he said, well, maybe they won't run you off. I was pretty easy on everybody. So anyways, but I just... Diane and I just wanted to thank you all for the opportunity to be gone for a week. And we didn't do anything, hardly. That staff down there at the Sandals Resort waited on us hand and foot. And it was a wonderful, wonderful week of rest and relaxation. Diana's been to Hawaii. I haven't. But she said St. Lucia was as pretty and beautiful as Hawaii is. So y'all might want to take a look at going there. It's a nice place. Anyways, thank you again. And she's just as beautiful as she was 40 years ago. I love you, Diana. Thank you. Okay, guys, that's going to pay big dividends, so take notes. All right. I love you guys. I love life. And the Lord has just been so good. And even in the bad times and tough times, God's always with us. Aren't you glad he's not only God in the valley, but he's God on the mountain as well? So... we've been in a sermon series on that I've called Truth from Error, and we've looked at over the past several weeks the truth concerning creation in Genesis 1 and 2, and then we looked at the truth concerning corruption and the fall of man in Genesis 3, and then we looked at the truth concerning catastrophe and Noah's flood, and this morning we want to look at... the truth concerning confusion. We're looking at the Tower of Babel. Let me just kind of preface everything that I want to say. The authority of God's Word is under attack today. The Word of man is being elevated above the Word of God today, and everything's in question. And there's a term for that called humanism, human reasoning, humanism. But it started way back in the garden. You remember Adam and Eve took of the fruit, the only fruit that they weren't supposed to eat, they ate of. And they elevated their thoughts above, they thought, hey, we eat this, we're going to be like God. And so they elevated their thinking and their way of looking at things above what God had already said. And so that's been going on since the Garden of Eden. And so that's where this sermon series is coming from. And so if you have a Bible... or a phone with a Bible app or a tablet or something like that, turn to Genesis 11, and we're going to read the first, nine verses there. And stand as we, in honor of reading of God's Word, if you would. you're there, say amen. Amen. Wow, y'all are quick this morning. It always helps to have a little second Sunday brunch, doesn't it? All right. Now, the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwell there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Now watch this, listen to this, lean in, don't miss this. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one. And they've all had one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us, that's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel. Some would say Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Father, would you bless the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of your holy, inspired, authoritative word. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The truth concerning confusion. You got to let me set the table for just a minute so we can get to where we need to go. Now you remember, God had gotten to the point where he was so sorry that he'd made man that he had decided to judge the entire world, and he sent a flood, and the only 8 people on the planet who he considered righteous were Noah's wife, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, his 3 sons, and their 3 wives. And so they got into the ark by faith, and then it rained 40 days and 40 nights. The heavens opened up, the fountains of the deep broke up, and they spent 110 days, I believe it was, in that ark. And then it was time. The ark rested on one of the mountains called Ararat, which is over in modern-day Turkey. And I think if we could get over there and do some archaeological digging, we'd find pieces and parts of that ark still today. But just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not real. Amen. Amen. And so God told Noah, and his 3 boys and their wives to come out of the ark. And then Noah became a farmer. How many farmers do we have here? A few. Are y'all ashamed of that? Throw that arm way up and wave at everybody. Amen. All right. Now he didn't stay there at Mount Ararat. He moved quite a piece west. East, I believe. And there he became a farmer and had a vineyard and all this other. And then his 3 boys began to, by the way, you are kin to Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The whole world. And those 3 are kin to Adam and Eve. Eve is the mother of all the living. Remember we talked about that? And so everybody that you see today came from those 3 families. And Noah lived 350 years after the flood. Now, he didn't have any more kids after the flood. I can see why. Anyway, so now that kind of gets us up to snuff. And God gave Noah, listen to this in chapter 9, verse 1. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, watch this, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. In other words, it was God's plan that Noah and his descendants would be fruitful and multiply, that they would have families and children and scatter across the entire earth. And it says it again up there in chapter 9, verse 7, "And as for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it." And yet, probably somewhere around 115, when you do the genealogy work there in chapters 10 and chapter 11, it's probably about 115, 120 years after Noah first came out of the ark. You see this group that had somewhere around 78 families now, and they began to come from the east towards the west, and instead of scattering all over the earth the way God wanted them to do, what did they do? Yeah, they came into one city called Babel, and they began to build this city, and then they began to build this tower, and what really upset the Lord was that they were rebelling against God. He had told them to scatter upon the earth, and what are they doing? They're gathering in one place. And follow this with me. When God tells you to do something in His Word and you don't do it immediately, that's disobedience, right? And so God has to deal with our disobedience or He would cease to be holy and just. And so He had to deal with this just like He had to deal with the folks before the flood. And so God had a little conference with God the Son and God the Holy Spirit and said, "We better go down here and take care of this." And that's what this Tower of Babel thing is all about. Now, the people of the world also, did you catch verse 4? Let's read it again. He says, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." Isn't that what God had already told them to do? So that's rebellion right there. And then pride entered it. They said, "We want to make a name for ourselves." And so God was forced to have to deal with their disobedience. And by the way, this was the sin of pride. And I'll tell you what, can I just share my personal? This is something I deal with all the time. Now, y'all don't sit out here and look all spiritual at me. I know this is something y'all do too. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. It was pride, you remember, that got Lucifer kicked out of heaven. It was pride that got Adam and Eve booted out of the garden and humanity fell into sin. Matter of fact, James 4:6 says, "God is opposed to the proud but gives grace to the humble." Wow. And so God had to step in because these folks wanted to make a name for themselves. And whenever we assume the role of pride, our destiny is death. You know, I don't know what it is that's ingrained in us, but we have this my way or the highway type attitude sometimes, don't we? I mean, I remember Frank Sinatra. I used to love that guy. But he sang a song that pretty much epitomizes, "I did it my way." And that's kind of adverse to the way we ought to do it, God's way instead of our way. Are y'all with me today? Too much second mile brunch. So anyways, they began to build this tower. And they wanted it to reach all the way up into the heavens. And archaeologists have studied some of these towers all over the world. There's towers everywhere. There's towers down in South America. There's towers in the jungle along the Amazon. There's towers over in Europe. There's towers everywhere. So man has always wanted to make a name for themselves and be great. And so this specific tower, they believe, was built in such a way that had successive levels, but each level was recessed so that you could walk to the top of the steps. And they've excavated some of these types of structures and pyramids, and they discovered that most of them were built for religious purposes. Do you know what the name Babel means? Gate of the gods. So So you understand what's going on here? Probably you could walk up to the top of this shrine and meet with the gods. And this structure, and so this structure in the city were named Babel. Now this is just before the great hunter Nimrod founded the city of Babylon. Babylon as a city was not yet, had not yet come into fruition, but they're building the city and they're building this tower because they want to make a name for themselves. And they wanted the phrase, whose top is in the heavens, reveals that all of this is motivated by pride. They wanted to make a name for themselves and so that other people would admire them. Can I tell you, in the economy of God, y'all, the way up is down. Matter of fact, the scripture says if you want to be exalted, won't be long before you're abased. God, and think about the Lord Jesus. He is humility personified. I mean, the great God of heaven, the second person of the Trinity, left heaven. Can you imagine leaving the splendor and the majesty and the glory of heaven and coming down here? What did it take to do that? Love and humility. And the Bible says that he humiliated himself on a cross so that we could be set free from this pride issue that all of us have from time to time. Now, listen, folks, you may think this is some strong preaching, but I just want you to know, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't say anything about this. Sometimes real love is tough love. Yeah, thank you. And so these people were united and trying to make a name for themselves, and they're living in one city. Remember, they only had one language, one vocabulary, and one dictionary, and one desire to glorify man. Man's rebellion. Let's look at God's response. Look at verse 5 again. But the Lord came down to the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. Now, didn't God know what was going on? Did he really have to go down? Now, this is just language that's in place for drama, okay? And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come on, let us go down there and confuse their language that they might not understand one another's speech. And so, Moses tells us that God showed up and Babel's conceited pride of let's go up was answered by heaven's call of let's go down. Of course, God didn't have to investigate. He already knew the deal. He knew what was happening. But all this language is being used so that we might understand and give us the rest of the story like Paul Harvey used to do. I'm showing my age now. The unifying of the people would only lead to a false sense of power and future problems. And so God confused their language and scattered them all over the earth. Isn't that what he wanted done at first? I want to tell you what, God's providence, God's purposes, God's plans will be accomplished. No matter what we do. You know what? I've done things in my life, and you have too, that have been against what really God's best was for your life. Am I communicating there? And God's so big that he can even take our mistakes and our rebellion and turn them around for our good and his glory. Amen. Amen? So y'all know where we're going. Y'all know what I'm talking about here. Now, God could have destroyed the city if he wanted to. He could have chosen to do some other things to the people there. But he got his will accomplished by giving all of them a different language. Did y'all know they speak 143 languages in Nashville? I think we speak 6 at my house. Some of you ladies get that a little bit later, but and so he imagine you're in the, you know, you're way up there on that tower and you're trying to put a brick, a certain brick, certain size in place, and you holler down, send up one of those bricks, and the guy down at the bottom says, what is he talking? I can't understand that. And so he confused their languages, and now we've got all these languages. Do y'all know there are over over 7,000 languages in the world today. Whew. Diana and I were down in St. Lucia, and did y'all, well, you probably didn't, because I didn't know, but the French and the British fought 14 wars over that little island that's 27 miles long and 14 miles wide. They wanted that island. And eventually the British won. And you've got all these folks that live down there that are African-American, and they speak the King's English. And they speak it so fast, you have to say, could you repeat that again? And I was trying to, you know, sometimes it's hard to understand. Even though they're speaking English, it's a different version of English from the way we speak. And how many of you know we've got dozens of dialects in the Southern language, amen, right? And so that's what God did. He confused them. And so therefore they had to leave and go their separate ways. And now you've got folks living everywhere. And that's exactly what God wanted. All right, you know what makes us great in God's eyes? Is our diversity. It ought to make us better, not worse. That's our strength, man. Look at your neighbor and say, man, I'm glad you're different. Half of us in here just lied. All right. Aren't you glad God is a God of diversity? And by the way, I believe there is one race, the human race. Acts 17 and verse 26 says that the human race comes from one blood. And we've got people groups, but I don't believe in different races. I believe in different people groups because we all come from Eve. And we all come from him, Shem and Japheth. And I don't have time to get into all that, but y'all got a pigment called melanin. And the basic color of melanin is brown. Now, there's different shades of that brown. And in our genetic makeup, I'm fixing to get into this, and I said I wasn't going to. But anyways, we all come from Adam and Eve, and then everybody that was populated on the earth came through Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And so we've got all these different colors, and you know, we've got all these different heights, and we've got these different looks, and we've got all this stuff. But if you've got more questions about this, see me after the service, and I'll give you all kinds of reading material, okay? But it's really interesting. And so, really, you are my brother. You are my sister. Amen? And by the way, thank you. There it is. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Hallelujah. And so that was God's response. And verse 8 says, the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. Now, we've talked a lot about, I've given y'all a lot of information. We need some application now, right? You do want to know how this applies to your life, right? I want to make sure I'm communicating every time I get up here. And that's why I'll say something goofy sometimes, just to make sure you're listening. But what is our response? What is our reply to be? Now, while times are different, I still believe that the heart of human beings are the same. They're still the same. And you just look around, we're still building towers today. Now, I'm not saying there's anything sinful about trying to build a tower, but there is something not quite right about building something or doing something just so that your name will be great. Fame and fortune, that kind of stuff. And by the way, you know what I've learned? If you'll just humble yourself and lower yourself, God eventually will raise you up. and he will exalt you. I've told y'all the story about the Podunk Church down in Podunk Hollow that Diane and I lived down in Waynesboro for 20 years. You got to make plans to go to Waynesboro. You can't just drive through there. Town of about 2,500. We spent 20 years there. We've still got grandkids down there, and my son's down there, and my daughters. Out of the way place, nobody's ever heard of us. But God began to move in that little town down there in that city. And I think it was back in 2014, the president of the Tennessee Baptist Convention called, and he said, "We want you to preach the convention sermon." And after I got up out of the floor, I said, "Okay." And then we got another call from one of the big dogs up in Nashville, and they wanted our choir to come. And so at the convention sermon over at Brentwood, how many of y'all been to Brentwood Baptist Church? That's a massive place over there. And so I had the opportunity to preach to hundreds of Southern Baptists that day, and our choir, they had me in tears. I almost couldn't preach the two songs that they sang. And my beautiful wife was up there. My point is, there's nothing that special about me. It's God who winds up giving us the name. Okay, you just serve him in humility and serve him behind the scenes. And when it's time, God will exalt your name. Psalm chapter 3. Whew. He is the lifter of our head. Amen. And so that's what's going on here in the Tower of Babel. And that's what's happening all across our land today. And by the way, we're not trying to, you know what our scope ought to be, or what our priority ought to be? We're here to help build the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we're to be building. We're supposed to be enhancing as best we know how the kingdom of God. And so, let me just stop right here and ask you. Let me just put it like this. I love you guys dearly. We couldn't have planted this church 5 years ago without most of you. But what really blesses me when you leave here on Sundays and I'm standing back here at the door trying to greet our guests and visitors, what really blesses me is not to hear, "Oh, that sure was a great sermon." I'd rather you walk out of here saying, "Oh, what a great Savior." Amen. What a great Savior, because that's who we need to point people to. Y'all with me? Yes. Now watch this. They wanted to make a name for themselves. Look at Genesis chapter 12 and watch this. Y'all all know the name Abraham. Remember him? Genesis 12 and verse 2. "I will make you," this is God speaking to Abraham, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing." When God's ready, after you have humbled yourself, and you have just been serving God behind that, he will exalt you and give you his name. Amen. Glory to God. That's a great word for us. And, the only one worthy of having his name exalted is the Lord Jesus. The Bible says there's salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible says he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. The great thing about me is that I have his name. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing. It sounds as music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Sing it with me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Of Jesus. Because And here's the bottom line. Why try to make a name for yourself when you can have His name? Don't try to make a name for yourself. Lift up His name, and guess what? One day Jesus will pull you up out of the crowd and say, "Well done, good and faithful service." Enter into the joy of your salvation. Would you bow your heads with me? Maybe you're here this morning and you've heard all about that name, the name of Jesus, but you don't know the person of Jesus. You're not in a relationship with Him. Well, my Bible tells me, the Word of God tells me, if you'd be willing to make a spiritual U-turn in your life today by turning from your sin and turning to Christ as your only means of salvation, by surrendering to Him, giving Him everything that you are to everything that He is, by calling on His name, He will forgive you of your sin, and He'll come in and give you a brand new heart and give you a brand new name. Some of you are here and you may need to do that this morning. You don't even have to have a preacher. You can sit right there in the pew, in the chair, and ask God to save you. But once you do that, you need to make a public declaration of your newfound faith in Christ. I'm not asking you, are you a member of a church somewhere? Have you even been baptized? I'm not asking that. I said, do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Because there's coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father and the Son. Maybe you're here and you just need special attention. You need special prayer. We call this an invitation time, a time of response. If you need some help spiritually, if you need to pray, you need God to move in your life, we'd ask you to come. We'll have spiritual people here to pray with you and over you. If you prayed to receive Christ for the first and only time today that you really needed to, we want to ask you to come, and we want to get some stuff in your hands to get you started right in your new life. We want to rejoice with you. Father, this is your time. This is a time for your name to be exalted. This is a time for the building of your kingdom and your church. And God, your people are here and we need you, Lord. Scripture says we are poor and needy people. God, without, John 15:5 says, without Jesus we can do nothing. But Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so God, we need you today. As we open up this altar for prayer, for testimony, for whatever it is that folks need, God, I pray that you'd give us the boldness and the Holy Ghost courage to do what we need to do here today. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for speaking to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The altar's open. Brother Andrew, what are we going to sing?
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.